Good evening, Thursday night in Lansing. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. On today's program, there's so much noise around us today, both at home and at work sometimes, you can only wonder how much damage is being done to your hearing. A new University of Michigan study finds that it can be quite a lot. We'll find out what the sources are and what the best ways are to reduce the risk of hearing loss. And a new all-electric Jeep Grand Cherokee set to be unveiled at the 2012 Detroit Auto Show. I'll talk to the owner of the company that converts these conventional vehicles into electric ones and how promising the electric vehicle market appears in the upcoming future. But first, while there are Apple iPhone people and HTC Android phone people, the divide has been quite a bit more combative between the companies themselves, with ongoing legal issues resulting this week in the U.S. International Trade Commission ruling that phone maker HTC infringed upon one of Apple's patents in some of its smartphones. To get a better understanding of what the beef is all about, I'm joined by Sasha Segan. He's the lead analyst for PC Mag Mobile. He's reviewed hundreds of cell phones, PDAs, and other gadgets for the PC Mag Digital Network. He's also a columnist for PCMag.com. Sasha, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
So what is this all about? While there are certainly some differences between Android phones and iPhones, on the surface they appear somewhat similar in that they use touch screens and a variety of apps. What was Apple's claim?
Well, that similarity is a big part of the problem. As it's said in Walter Isaacson's recent biography of Steve Jobs personally felt that Google's Android operating system was a ripoff of Apple's technologies, and he vowed to destroy it. So rather than the complex web of cross-licensing patents that goes on in most of the mobile industry, Apple has set out to use its patent portfolio to take down and destroy Android phones whenever possible.
Was Jobs really wrong, though?
The thing is, everybody borrows from everybody in the mobile industry. It takes patents from dozens of companies to make any mobile phone. You can argue very clearly that there are 10, 15 different technologies in the iPhone that were pioneered by other companies. So this is a very collaborative industry. And typically in the past, manufacturers have acknowledged this and they've agreed to pay each other various sums of money for their patents to acknowledge that it takes a village to build a cell phone, basically.
Now, Apple originally claimed that there were a whole set of patent infringements, but the commission ruled that only one patent was infringed upon. Can you describe which patent that was?
Yeah, this was a very specific patent involving tapping on an item on a screen and getting a list of actions that you can then perform on the item. The example is if you tap on a phone number and you get the options, dial this, email this, send this to Facebook, and HTC has said, okay, we can work around this with a software fix. We're changing the menu that appears when you tap on a phone number, and it will no longer violate that patent.
I see. Well, I guess that's a pretty simple solution. So there are not going to be any dramatic changes to the upcoming HTC Android phones from what you're describing.
No, HTC dodged a bullet, though. One of the patents Apple was claiming was a broader patent on how to arrange data in a smartphone. There's a number of patents knocking around the industry which people think of as nuclear patents. These are patents without which you could not make a modern smartphone. And people are worried that at some point one of those patents is going to crop up, and that's going to be big trouble for a lot of people.
Well, at this point, we have the iPhone, we have the Android phones. They're pretty much the two that have the entire market cornered, right?
Well, there's the iPhone, there's Android phones. There's still quite a lot of BlackBerries around. And BlackBerry is firmly in third place at the moment, even though it's declining. And you've got Microsoft's Windows phones coming up essentially from nothing, but taking some of the space that BlackBerry is leaving behind. Microsoft's playing an interesting role because they've found that Android violates a lot of their patents, but instead of stamping out the Android phones, they're just having the Android manufacturers pay them money every month.
I'm talking to Sasha Segan. He's the lead analyst for PC Mag Mobile. And he writes a column for PCMag.com. You can find him there. Now, in terms of the future, then, are we expecting many more of these types of lawsuits coming up?
Oh, absolutely. Apple changed the rules of the game when it started using these lawsuits as a weapon to stop or delay its opponents' products. And now that is a more accepted part of the game. And companies are deploying these lawsuits to trip each other up, slow their products from getting to market, slow their development process, and get an advantage over their competitors.
So, Sasha, you've reviewed hundreds of cell phones, certainly a lot of these new phones. For someone who's trying to decide on which way to go, iPhone or Android, what kind of advice would you give them? What are the significant differences between the two?
Well, the iPhone is very easy to use. It's simple. There's great tech support for it, great community around it, great apps. That said, the iPhone is available on a limited set of service plans from only a couple of carriers, and it's only available in one form factor. So you have to like that size and shape. You have to like the carriers and plans that come with it. Android phones are available in a much broader array. If you want a big one, a little one, a prepaid one, one on a really cheap carrier, or one with a full keyboard, then you go to Android for the wider range of options.
What about if you are with Verizon or AT&T, which so many customers are? When it comes down to the software differences, is there any significant advantage in the way one phone operates as compared to the other?
iPhone is generally considered easier to use for beginning or less technical users. It puts a simple array of frequently used apps right at the front. There isn't a lot of configuration you can do to it. It's a simpler system. Android, much more configurable. If you're the kind of person who likes to tweak, if you're the kind of person who likes to fiddle with things and arrange your furniture just so in your house, Android is much more customizable.
So how are these two types of phones now positioned? iPhone came out, of course, kind of took over, and then Android came about a bit later. Who has the majority of phone use at this point?
Android, the Android platform is much bigger than the iPhone platform in terms of sales right now, by a factor of almost 2-to-1, and that's because there are so many more Android phones at so many different price points, so many designs. With the iPhone is the best-selling phone in America. But, of course, there's only a couple of models of it, whereas there are dozens of different Android phones.
Now, BlackBerry was the king, I think, for a while, was it not?
Yeah, BlackBerry was the number one smartphone operating system in the U.S. for years, up until just a few months ago. But the software has gotten old. RIM hasn't been developing new versions. They haven't been following up on trends like touchscreens and media, and they really seem to be dropping the ball right now.
I mean, I still use my old BlackBerry with the keyboard. The idea of transitioning to the glass is just not something I'm able to comprehend right now. Do you think over time, though, we'll eventually see all phones going to the touchscreen glass keyboard and this keyboard style likely to disappear at some point?
I don't think so. I think, listen, we're humans, we're animals, we're physical beings. We like to touch things and have them respond to us. This is what, you know, millions of years of human evolution has led to. We like to touch things and use our sense of touch. And that's where physical keyboards really come in handy. It's a physical object. It's satisfying in this very basic way. So I think a lot of people will still prefer physical keyboards.
The iPhone, as you said, just a handful of options. Typically, the newest is the best. But when it comes to the variety of options, when it comes to the Android-based phones, do you recommend any particular models, or have you found some to be the best in your eyes?
Yeah, absolutely. We have all of our recommendations up on PCMag.com. And right now, for instance, we're recommending the Motorola Droid Razr on Verizon and the Samsung Skyrocket on AT&T. Now, these are two of the most expensive smartphones out there, and we do have lower price choices as well.
When it comes to the tablets, which are huge this year, obviously the iPad 2 is the big one, but are there others that you'd say are probably worth considering if an iPad is not where a buyer wants to go?
Absolutely. If you don't feel like you have $500 to spend on a tablet, or maybe that the iPad is too large, the Amazon Kindle Fire is a real deal right now. It's only $200. It's very easy to use. It hooks in so well to Amazon's services, and it's not an iPad. You're not going to be able to do everything you do with an iPad. On the other hand, it's less than half the price.
It's a bit smaller also. You think these 7-inch tablets are going to pick up some steam at some point?
Absolutely. I think 7 inches is a great form factor for a tablet. It fits into a coat pocket, it's very portable, and kids really seem to take to tablets that size.
And only a few days left here to get out there and buy one of these gadgets as Christmas is right around the corner. Sasha Segan, lead analyst for PC Mag Mobile. Also, you can find his column on PCMag.com. Check him out there. Sasha, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.